Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
The full buffet of offensive moves. So he was great last night. I also think having Harden back in the game changed the way Houston attacked him adversely for them. Because Harden wants to get to the goal on you. He wants to take the step back daddy or get to the cup. He does not have a mid-range floater game. He used it a little bit here and there during that run where he scored 30 or more in 32 consecutive games, but really it's not his game. That's more Chris Paul's game. So I think the matchup was better there. But DeMarcus was really good last night. Several situations throwing from the high post out of the block in the split action where the Warriors post their bigs to pass, not to score. But then late in the shot clock, there was one time out of a side out of bounds after a timeout, they called a play for Boogie Cousins in the right block against Capella. He went right at him. There was a time where he came out the reverse side to score a layup. There was time when Gordon, the guard, came and doubled him, and he went right through both of them. So he looked fabulous last night, and you start to think if Durant does leave, and we're hearing about this meeting when the Warriors were in Manhattan in October to play the Knicks, where he met with the Knicks brass, who knows if it's true or not. But you have to brace for that, certainly, if you're, you know, Joe Lacob and Bob Myers and Steve. And you get a little bit of a feel of how it would look if Durant does leave and you are able to get Cousins to accept the 20% boost in the mid-level. And then, you know, think about giving him a bird rights max deal.
If in the short term, Pop, when you've got Durant and Cousins on the floor together, does this diminish the ability to work through Boogie in the low block? And how do you stagger the minutes accordingly? So maybe you have DeMarcus be more effective with the second unit in the role we saw last night.
Well, he does that both. So he starts the game and he plays. He's playing more and more minutes. I mean, last night he was up to 31, 35, and he's played more since the All-Star break. Typically, he starts the game and he plays 6, 7, 8 minutes. Then he comes out and then he drives. Talking about Cousins, he drives the second unit when Durant is out. And that was a big part of the game last night and something that I was concerned about, because without Durant, you know, Steph has to play the entire first and third quarters and drive that group. When Durant's there, Steph's been coming out late in the first and third quarters to come back earlier in the second and fourth. He didn't have that. And last night, to start the second quarter, that group was just awful. It was Clay, it was Quinn Cook, it was Sean Livingston, it was Jordan Bell, and it was DeMarcus. And they were running into each other. The spacing was horrible. They did defend, and Houston missed some shots, so it wasn't that bad as far as the score discrepancy, but they were bad. But then to start the fourth quarter, that's the group that won you the game. And it was mainly DeMarcus and it was Clay that were your primary scorers. The other guys were just, you know, doing a lot of the grunt work and role-playing, and they did a great job. And that's where the game really was won for the Warriors. They had such a sizable lead there. So they do that a little bit, but there's a way to have them all flow. You just got to move the ball a little bit. You know, I think Durant is such a special scorer. I mean, his skill is just to be able to play in isolation and beat his guy. He's not a ball movement guy. He doesn't move his body. When you watch him, he's kind of a stand-around guy till the ball comes to him. He'll pass the ball. He's a good passer, excellent passer for a guy his size, incredible. But he doesn't move his body as much, so it just doesn't flow as much. So there's obviously a way to make it all work, and you just involve him in an action. You know, if you ever, you know, just a Durant Cousin screen, which they do a lot, a 3-5 pick and roll. And if you're going to double Durant, and Cousins is going to be able to get an opening to do what he did last night. So there's a way. You know, I don't prescribe to the theory that you have too many offensive players. You can make it all work. The more offensive threats you have, the harder it is for defense to cover. It's just they have to accept the dirty work. You have to do other things. That's why Draymond and Andre fit so well, because they don't need to shoot the ball at all to be incredibly impactful. And, you know, the other guys that are known mainly as scorers, you're talking about guys. I mean, DeMarcus has had some monster games in this league. And Steph, Clay, KD, and Cousins, you have guys that are capable of getting you 55 points in a game. And there are very few players in the history of the league that have done that. He's capable of doing that. Maybe not right now, but he's, you know, certainly when he's getting a lot of minutes, he is. But there's a way to make it all work. But, you know, guys have to accept the other elements of the game when they're not, you know, involved in the action as far as shooting the ball.
Bobby, how important was last night that you saw guys cutting to the basket, you saw Cousins on the block and passing it to a cutting Steph and a cutting, you know, Klay Thompson? Just looked like they were running and moving a lot more. Was that by design, or is that just the effort, or is that coaches just going with a different type of scheme altogether?
No, I think they were more active. I think they felt like they had to play differently with Durant not playing, and they probably knew when they left for Houston or even on Monday that Durant was not going to play. They had a really good game plan going into it, a mindset. They knew how they wanted to play the game last night, just starting with the fact that they started Andre Iguodala. Told you, and that's a playoff decision that we're going to win this game. We're coming out with our best group. We're not going to ease into the game. They got off to the 15-7 start to open the game. I think they just had a clear plan on how they wanted to play the game, and it involved, hey, we just lost 27.4 points a game. We're going to have to get a little more from everybody. You know, DeMarcus gave you 27, so whatever you lost from Durant, DeMarcus gave you, and then the bench was really good. I just think they had a good flow to their game, and they moved the ball extremely well, as you said. The assist total wasn't off the charts. It was 28. But, you know, Houston takes away a lot of trips. You only got 85 shots up last night because Houston wants to play a slower-paced game and hold the ball and Harden do what he does. And, by the way, Harden is hurt. His right wrist is bothering him. I could see it for he's fallen a couple times. Most recently, what was the game? Philadelphia, I think it was, that I saw where he fell. He also, I think, fell against Boston. His numbers are way down. He's had three straight games. He has not scored 30. And he had a streak of 32 in a row where he scored at least 30, and he averaged 40 for 40 consecutive games, which is amazing. And they've obviously gotten their guys back, but I think it's pretty obvious that Harden is hurt with the right wrist. You see that big, bulky wrist on his right hand. I know he's a left-handed player, but you play basketball with both hands. I don't think he's not healthy. And then the other part of the game is the way Steph guarded him. And all I heard all day long were analytics that Steph cannot guard James Harden. You go back to the Western Finals last year, and early in that series it was a problem. But I think by the time the series was done, Steph guarded Harden better than Harden guarded Steph. But going into the game last night, all we were, you know, crammed down our throat was the analytics. And I'm sure Steph saw it. He sees everything. That he cannot guard Harden. Well, you know, Steph didn't play the first time they played in November. Harden didn't play the most recent time. So you're talking about one game this year. And then whatever, you know, my eyes saw that, you know, Steph, as the series went on last year, he guarded Harden more physically, competitively, willingly, aggressively, just everything. And watch him last night. I think the numbers show that when they got the switch, Harden only scored one basket on Steph. He was 1 for 5, and there were two or three situations I can remember where Steph got into his grill and really wanted to fight him and compete with him and go at him, because I think he's tired of this, you know, narrative, as he likes to say, that he can't guard James Harden. I think an underlying element last night is how well Steph played defensively.
Catch him noon to 3 p.m. today with Bonte Hill. They are absolutely loaded. Mark Spears at 12:30, Randy Cross at 1 o'clock, Adam Kaplan at 1:30, Kirk Morrison at 2 o'clock. It's Greg Papa with us here on 95.7 The Game. Pop, as a thank you for jumping on earlier with us today, because Bochy's coming on at 8:30. We had our crack research team put in the work. The Stallone movie you referenced is called Nighthawks. One man can bring the world to its knees, and
don't
only
remember
one
the scene?
Man can stop him.
You don't remember this movie at all? When he's screaming, Wolfgang!
No, but I'm going to go watch it later today.
No, it is a can't miss. Way better than Rocky 18, I say.
The Wikipedia page in the first sentence literally says, the film was noted for production problems.
All right.
Thanks, Pop. Have a good one.
That's not what I remember it for. I remember Stallone with a beard screaming, Wolfgang!
Greg Pop, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you, Pop. Right. Nighthawks. You should read the first paragraph of the plot. It's terrible. It's absolutely terrible.
1981, I believe.
Yeah, 1981, directed by Bruce Malmuth.
One of his greater... Well, I don't even know. I can't even finish that lie.
The budget was $5 million. it did 19.9 in the box office. It did turn a profit.
Winner.
It did turn a profit. Congratulations to Sylvester Stallone.
And Billy Dee Williams.
And Billy Dee Williams, who was also in that movie as well. Not to mention Rutger Hauer, Lindsay Wagner, Persis Cambada, and Nigel Davenport. Nighthawks.
Good old Nigel.
All right. We got to get busy here. 8:30, Bruce Bochy, three-time World Series champ. Right after that, we're giving away an autographed Boogie Cousins basketball. Big day still to come. But first, here's Anna with what's coming up on the game.
All right, thanks, Joe. The Warriors cool down.
Joe Lowendibs continues on 95.7 The Game.
Rock and roll, big 40 minutes coming up right here. Bruce Bochy, three-time World Series champion, in about 10 minutes at 8:30. Hit us up on the Chilton Auto Body text line at 95795. If you have any questions for the skipper, we'll go through them, find some good ones, fire them his way, see what happens. After that, we've got an autographed Boogie Cousins basketball we're going to give away, complete with tickets to the comedy special he has coming up in a few weeks. So a nice little package deal, autographed basketball with tickets. Louis Riddick of ESPN, former NFL player, former NFL, I believe he worked in the front office in Philadelphia, although I don't know the exact role. He's one of the smarter minds out there right now. Was on the ESPN morning show Get Up this morning talking about pro days and the NFL draft because Kyler Murray, the Oklahoma Heisman Trophy winning quarterback, had his pro day yesterday. This is important for Niners fans because we're still trying to figure out what is going to happen at number one, so we can then figure out what the Niners are going to do at number two. Take a listen to Louis Riddick.
So it really doesn't matter to me that he didn't run or he didn't measure again. That stuff doesn't matter. See, scouts get all caught up in that, and we maybe start to attach too much importance to those kinds of things when it really doesn't matter. The further away we get from playing games, the more people start looking for ways to poke holes in players and forget about how they played the game. And that's what's going to start happening with Kyler Murray and every other prospect right now. Look, he's going to go number one. He's going to go to the Cardinals, and then it's going to be about where does Dwayne Haskins go? That's really going to be the story, I believe, on draft night. Where does big old number seven from Ohio State go? Because ultimately, that's my number one quarterback. And I'm pretty anxious to see where he goes because I think Kyler, I think that's a done deal to Arizona.
That's pretty important because Riddick is not a guy that just throws stuff up against the wall in order to get a reaction. He's very polished. He's very smart. A lot of people who know him and are familiar with his work would love to see him on Monday Night Football. That's a conversation for another day. But you hear a guy like that and you realize it's not just, you know, how do I get a big reaction? How do I say something crazy so people talk about me? This is not one of those guys. He comes out and he says that. How does it land with you? Is that the type of thing that's like, man, if Lewis is that convinced, we got to figure it's Murray to Arizona. Because he didn't just say number one. He emphasized the fact that it would be Arizona taking him at number one.
It was very interesting to hear that come out of his mouth, the way how decisive he was when he laid it out, saying he's going to be number one. I don't care. This is the guy that he believes is going to be number one. If I'm San Francisco, I'm happy. I'm really, really feeling a little bit better, especially when it comes from a guy who's been around the league, who's been around the game, who's been around front office people. Hopefully he's hearing that somewhere. Hopefully you look at certain guys that are out there, you know, Scheffner, he's the guy who always breaks these stories. When they usually say something, it's like E.F. Hutton. They usually know what they're talking about. So I hope that he does. I hope that he knows what he's talking about because I do want him to go one because I really want the San Francisco 49ers to get – Nick Bosa.
Nice.
That was close.
Joey Bosa swear jar. If you say Joey Bosa, $1 to the jar.
I paused.
Low caught himself. Dibs a couple days ago threw in more than he needed to just to cover himself for
I
down
think
the
I'm
road.
Even now. I paid five. I violated five times. So unfortunately, I have no cash today. So I'm just going with the Bosa kid.
I like that.
The You're Bosa suddenly going to be a huge Josh Allen fan to the Niners at number two.
I've always liked Quentin Williams. You know, we want to bring in Quentin Williams without a doubt. I'm glad to hear Louis Riddick say what he said because it's one of the most baffling things to me in my world as a football fan. And I never played in the NFL. I was never an agent. I was never a GM. But I don't understand the whole idea of the pro day. Every single game of every single college across the country is on TV, and it's available to be viewed after the fact. So if you're a scout, you'd want to look at game tape first and foremost. Then you've got the combine, just in case you may have missed something. Players go to the combine, you can interview them, you get their medical, you see them up close and personal. when you go to someone's pro day, to think that they're going to look anything short of extraordinary, to me, is missing the overall point. You never see a guy in his pro day struggle. The conditions are set up for them to succeed, for them to look good. There's no defense for Kyler Murray, so it's basically a guy throwing the football around with his buddies. I don't know why we put any stock into these pro days. And I know we go back to the days of Dwight Clark when he was discovered at a pro day back in 1997 or whatever year it was. But in this modern day and age where all this stuff is available, actual game tape, why would anyone even care about a pro day?
Pressure. How are you going to handle yourself emotionally, mentally? How are you going to shake hands? How are you going to address people? How are you going to carry yourself that day? You're expected that day to look good. You're not wearing pads. You're not facing defensive pressure. Like you said, it's all tailor-made for you to look good. So you better look good. And if you do, it's just another domino falling in the line. Then how do you interact with everyone? Who do you bring out to the pro day? How do you handle yet another situation where you probably didn't get a great night's sleep? Now imagine it. As easy as that looks and as easy as you laid out that scenario to be, you're absolutely right. But I'm not getting much sleep the night before that. I'm thinking, damn, I got this pro day tomorrow. If I screw this up, it could be millions. Kyler Murray didn't even want to get his height measured again at it because of the risk of, like we talked about yesterday, some human error that could put him under 5'10". Suddenly, that's a huge thing. There's so much riding on this, and we put so much pressure on these guys. That's part of the process, trying to figure out, look, 4.44 versus 4.46, if that's really a huge deciding factor for you, you're probably missing the point. But if you show up in Indy and you get thrown out of the combine, and I think we know a few people who have done that, maybe that's the type of thing where you sit back and you go, damn. Now, you knew the whole world was watching this. You knew this was an important interview. You've known for months. There's no surprises here. You somehow got into an argument with someone and you got thrown out of the combine. That should be the type of thing that gives people serious pause. So I think for a pro day, it's really just a formality unless you screw it up. That's what I think that's for. And you make all excellent points on that, but I think it's just another opportunity to see if you'll crack under pressure.
And then another thing, I think it's about, Dibs, you're right, Joe and Dibs, when you're saying, okay, it's a formality, I get that, but what's the biggest thing? I think the most biggest thing, when you talked about at the combines, you stated the combines. You didn't say Kyler Murray. You didn't say Nick Bosa. You said the combines. Yesterday, what are you talking about? Kyler Murray. You're the show. The combine, when you go to combine, the combine's the show. All eyes aren't on you. It's too many other guys.
It's the event.
Exactly. And so everyone's talking to different guys. Everyone's moving around. So all that's just not on you. Yesterday, it's about Kyler Murray. It's about all the guys talking to him. It's being bombarded with all these different coaches and scouts and see how you handle it. When you're at the combine, it's not all about you. It's about too many other guys. So, yeah, yesterday you get to see what the guy's like under pressure when it's just solely about him.
Yeah, but at his facility. So it's like the ultimate home game. It's a date that they selected. It's a time they selected. It's drills that they selected. He didn't run the 40. He didn't bench press 225 yesterday. He didn't have to do the cone drill. He did what he wanted. He threw to whom he wanted. It was indoor at a time that they prescribed. So as much as you make a good point, and I like what you said too, Joe, about, you know, the pressure of the day and the moment, it's the ultimate home game to me. So if I'm a scout, while if I'm Arizona and Steve Keim, the GM, I would have gone just to see who else you might have seen there from Oklahoma, but I wouldn't have put much stock in it.
It's the same reason, and I don't agree with this, but I'm just going to explain why, because we have this conversation every year, and I'm again saying I don't agree with this. Why you have unnamed scouts and coaches and whoever during these interviews asking these absurd questions. Like, just to reference one, and again, I'm not saying I agree with it, but when Dez Bryant was at the combine, I believe someone unnamed asked if his mom just said something wildly inappropriate. And then it becomes a news story. The reason they're doing that, and again, not agreeing with it, but they're doing it to see how you react. They're doing it to see if we say something like this and you lose your cool and you lose your mind and you react in a negative way. All right, you can be rattled easy. Maybe we don't feel comfortable drafting you this high, paying you this much money, and leaning on you in a big way late in the fourth quarter when the game's on the line. That's how they think. Not appropriate to ask people those types of questions. Like, imagine going in for a radio job and someone asks you that. That's insane. But that's why they do it. Because, again, who's going to punish them for it? you're not going to get in any trouble. All right, 15 minutes from now, we've got an autographed Boogie Cousins basketball complete with comedy tickets to Boogie's comedy show to give away. But right now, very happy to go to the phones. Three-time World Series champion and manager of your San Francisco Giants, the great Bruce Bochy, joining us here on 95.7 The Game. Good morning, Skip. How is life in Arizona treating you?
Hey, good morning, Joe. Life's good. Life's good. Had a night game down in Peoria. We lost last night, so we've got to bounce back a short night, but we play Arizona today. But we're finally, I think, starting to get some nice weather here. It's been a rough go with that. It was freezing last night.
How is it going through your final run in Scottsdale? You know, this is the last spring training. Do you have any specific restaurants or any haunts or anything you're trying to make sure you check off the list before you guys come back to town?
Not really. I mean, if anything, I check out the new ones. You know, we got one here called Ocean's 44. It's right by where I live. I go there, but you know what? It's the ballparks. I realize it's my last time managing in some of these ballparks, and of course Peoria. I have a lot of history there. I mean, I started there back in 1995, and that's the last time I'll manage there. And so, yeah, no question. There's some memories that go through my head, and just reflecting back, this where our complex now. It's not going to be the same next year. I mean, they're remodeling all this, so it's going to be completely different. I have a couple of spots. The last night, the 21st, I'll go there just for old time's sake.
Is it hard for you to try to balance the last year thing? Because everybody who sees you is going to want to say goodbye or thank you for all the time they've spent with you. But you also want to focus on the game and baseball, which is your passion. Are you finding that to be maybe a challenge for this year?
No, really, to be honest. I mean, there has been a few more demands. But, and I told the players this. I said, I'm just doing this to get it out so, we don't have to, answer the questions later on or during the season so we don't have distractions. So this was a big reason why I wanted to go ahead and get it out there so I could focus some this year. And my focus is on finishing strong and getting, just getting the winning culture back to San Francisco. And so I'm all in on that. And, I'm having to say no on some things, trust me. But, as far as, the stuff off the field, or even a lot of friends that have come here to spring training because it's my last spring training, and as a manager, I've had to tell them I'm working. It's not easy, but they get it, they understand, but just cause more problems because they go, okay, we'll meet you on the road during the season. I go, well, that's the same thing. So anyway, it's all good, and I'm going to savor every bit of it.
Skip, I was in Tennessee, and Jeff Fisher told us once, he said, a setback is nothing but a setup for a comeback. When it's your finest hour and it's the end of the career, what is some of the things that you want to be remembered as a skipper, and how do you take this year, even though the cupboards may not be as full as you would like, how do you get guys to play at a level that is just it's unprecedented?
Yeah, well, if anything, I'd like to be remembered as, a guy that really cares about his players. I don't know if it's, if it's called a player's manager, but it's about them. And my job was, I think as a manager was managing our people, but protecting them and hopefully, putting them in the right position, where they could succeed. Just the relationships, that's what I really want to remember. I mean, the World Series, those are unbelievable memories, but, really, at the end of the day, it's the relationships that you build that, you want to maintain those. And I will stay in the game in some capacity. I don't know what yet, so it's not like I'm – it's not like a memorial or
sure.
or anything like that. Now, as far as the other part, I love the vibe in this camp. Now, we are healthy, and if our guys have their normal years and we get a surprise or two, I think we really can come out of woodwork and surprise some people because, we know about the naysayers, but, what's important is what we believe, not what, the expectations of others are. And so we talked about that, and, we'll see how it goes. It's a tough division. I mean, the team south of us is good. Of course, Colorado and San Diego's gotten better, and we're playing Arizona today, and, they had a pretty good year until the end last year. So I really like, where the guys, where their head's at right now, because we talked about how we've got to change our mindset, and that's one of the toughest things to do in sports is when you've had a couple of losing seasons is to get that expectation of winning, to get that swagger, if you want to say, get that back and just believe that, you are good and you can win.
Bruce Bochy with us here on 95.7 The Game. Tell us about Joey Bart. What do you see? What do you like? Where are the areas in which he can improve?
Yeah, I don't really. There's nothing not to like about this guy. He's a man. I mean, he's big, a big guy that is smart, really a cerebral behind the plate. He got beat up pretty good last night with a lot of dirt balls from Beattie. But, he's got the whole game. I mean, he's got power at the plate. I think he's got good discipline. The receiving surprised me, how good he can receive back there. And the throwing, I mean, he's a plus thrower. But as far as where he can improve, really all aspects, of the game. But in particular, the game calling, just, handling a pitching staff, that's going to come with experience. And, as all hitters, it's all about reps. It's just getting those ABs and just getting better with the strike zone and, the discipline part of the play. Because when he squares up on it, it's hit hard.
With Buster coming back from the big hip surgery, does that change the timeline for Joey Bart? And what's your plan when Buster Posey needs some time to move over to first base this year?
Well, I mean, we have some good options and some very, really tough decisions ahead of us. With Buster, I think we can answer the question about how much I can catch him here in the next couple of weeks as we ramp up his time behind the plate. As far as who's going to pick him up, I mean, Rivera just had a terrific spring. Renee, veteran, experienced backup, that handles the staff. They love throwing to him, and he's a threat at the plate and has been swinging the bat well. Now you look at Garcia. I mean, I played him at first yesterday, but he's had a terrific spring. It's been fun to look at his progress. And especially in 1 year, last year I'm talking about, we called him up and he really opened up some eyes. And, of course, we've got Stephen Vogt that's playing himself into shape. He caught for the second time yesterday. So we have some good options there. I don't know how we're going to go yet or we could go with three catchers. But, these are things Farhan and I are talking about.
Skip, how do you know if a young player has it? When do you know if they're ready? They can go out there and be on top of it, but the wiggers of the game and, being in the majors and how long you have to play. When do you know if a player is ready and you think they can handle those moments with the consistency?
Well, I think for a position player, it's not the results that matter. It's the AB itself. The quality of the bat, you're looking at, is he able to slow the game down, how is he, seeing the ball well, defense, same thing, what's his clock like? And what I mean is, his defensive clock as far as, where to be, when to throw the ball, things like that, that experience will let you know. And you're not always right, but, those are the things that I go on. And as a pitcher, obviously it's commanding and controlling the strike zone. That's, getting ahead of the guy, not walking hitters, but having that poise out there that, as I've said so many times, that sense of belonging, and that's what you look for from the players. And, for example, I mean, forget what happened last night with Beattie. Now, Beattie is a guy that as above average stuff on really three pitches, the fastball, the curveball, and the changeup. And he had a rough year last year, but this spring he looks like a different guy. Now, is he ready? Well, you have to look at the track record, and to be honest, there's a good chance he could go back and just take a look at him in the early part of the season. But this guy just looks like he's about ready to have a nice year, and he's ready to step up and pitch in the big leagues.
Bruce Bochy with us here on 95.7 The Game. Jeff Samardzija said after the news came out that this would be your final season with the team, that once you're gone, that's it. That's the end of the old school type managers, the guys who manage with their gut, because it's moving more towards an analytically based approach. What kind of manager do you think is going to have the most success moving forward in Major League Baseball? Basically, what I'm getting at is, for the Giants, where should they be looking?
Well, and I'll start with this, and I appreciate, Shark, it's nice of him to try to compliment me, or he did compliment me. But as far as managing with your gut, it's not quite managing with your gut. I mean, I know when I started out, you prepare for a game, and you're looking at numbers, you're looking at charts. We used to do them by ourselves, though. I had a diamond there, and I color pencils, and I mark where they hit the ball. And so that was our form of analytics. Now we've gone really deep with it, and it's become very useful. And so sometimes I think people look at me as I just manage with my gut. Well, it's really years of experience, I guess. Your brain now becomes your computer, but it's not so much with your gut, because you're going in that game prepared. You know the matchup. You have the numbers in your head, and our baseball analysts do a great job, and they're very helpful, and our coaches use them. So, we do use it here. I know a lot of people think we're all old school, but now maybe not quite in the forefront as some clubs. So every club is probably a little bit different in how they go about it. But as far as answer to the second part of your question, it's going to be a manager that really can collaborate because you can't just have it your way. I mean, none of us are as smart as all of us, and you got to use everybody, and that's what makes everybody better.
Next year, Major League Baseball plans to implement a three-batter minimum for pitchers. There's talk of a pitch clock coming in. What do you think of these radical changes for baseball? And do you think that baseball actually needs to be, quote, fixed in any way?
I don't like the changes, the two that you just mentioned. Javi Lopez just walked by me. Well, Javi Lopez wouldn't have been here probably if that was the case. He was a specialist, a left-handed specialist, and helped us win a couple World Series. And the clock, I think it's up to umpires to speed the pitcher up if he's too slow. Although I think it would be good in the minor leagues just to, get these guys to start working a little bit quicker, the slower guys. But you can't have it in the major leagues. I don't want to mess too much with this beautiful game. But at the same time, you do have to realize we're in the entertainment business, and we need to have action. So there is a little concern. There's a lot of walks, a lot of strikeouts, not as much action, and we got to entertain our younger generation to get them involved.
Boach, before we let you go, do you think there might be a moment late in the season where you're thinking to yourself, heck, this could be the last time I could have a run-in with an umpire and get myself thrown out? Maybe I should go out there and cause some trouble.
I got a couple picked out. I've already got those, yeah. So I'm ready, yeah. No, I got to get thrown out one more time by him. But it's a different game now with a replay, but still the balls and strikes, you still have fun with that, and that's still part of the game. But that's funny you mentioned that. I was talking about that just the other day. I said, You know, I got a couple of guys that just got to, you know, get thrown out one more time.
We'll keep an eye for when Angel Hernandez is on the schedule, Skip.
Okay.
Those are my words, not yours.
Three-time World Series champion, manager of your San Francisco Giants, the great Bruce Bochy with us here on 95.7 The Game. Skip, we know you're very busy. We greatly appreciate your time today. Thank you so much. Enjoy the rest of spring training, and hopefully we can do it again soon.
All right, guys. Good talking with you. Thank you.
You're the best, Skip.
You just feel calmer having talked to him, right? Like, you just feel calmer. Like, you can see how if you're in a jam during a game or if you're in a slump during the season, that a conversation with him could just kind of make you feel a little bit better.
Just relax, guys. You're going to get it going. Hey, you're going to hit it. You're going to get out of this slump. You're all right.
That said, though, when he...
Text line literally predicted that you were going to do that, that as soon as the interview ended, you would start doing Bochy voice. Chilton Autobody text line, dead on.
Did they really?
Yeah.
Did he do it because he read the text, or were the texters right that he was going to do it?
Great chicken versus egg question right there. I don't know.
My text
know.
Line's not up today. I didn't.
Interesting.
Yeah, today I just said no text line. After yesterday, I just said I'll shut it down.
Nice guy's giving me a thumbs up for what?
It's true. He's not lying.
Yeah, no one was. I wasn't questioning him. I don't think anyone here was feeling as if they had been lied to.
Well,
thank you.
He can see his computer screens as well as he can see the back of his beautiful head, which occasionally he will comment on you know what you're doing from the back. He can see it, but he can also see your screens. That's why.
Yeah. No, you can go ahead. Oh, that's their side, you know, the conversation about my head. But go ahead.
Yeah.
The text line also said that we would talk about the back of your head.
When the show isn't as focused, you understand why. There's a million conversations going on all over the place. It's actually, there's quite a few moving parts with this program. Tyler Beatty's name came up again without anyone prompting him. You notice that it came up a couple times. It's coming up quite a bit. Not to say you should get really excited about him this season, but every time you're hearing about Tyler Beatty, it's kind of one of these, this might be the year. Not a Cy Young year. Again, let's tape our expectations, but maybe the year that as we look to the rotation, all right, let's see what Bumgarner's got. All right, Samardzija has been having a nice spring. As hard as I am on him from time to time, if he's pitching well, I will acknowledge it. He has been pitching very well in Arizona. Beatty comes up. Maybe he plays well. Derek Rodriguez. It's not to sell anybody on a playoff run, but you get a somewhat consistent rotation together, a rotation that can avoid massive injuries. Maybe got something every few days. Maybe every few days you put a few together and you just kind of, you know, hanging around with the alligator blood. Yeah. Who knows?
He
but
said.
I am interested to see Boch get thrown out a couple more times.
Yeah, without a doubt. And I wonder if it will be Angel Hernandez, who is the burr in the saddle of many, many major league teams.
It was the quickest response he had to any of the questions. He just immediately goes, I got a couple guys picked out.
Oh, yeah. It's great. It's great.
All right. We have an autographed Boogie Cousins basketball, complete with tickets to give away. Probably should have had this read in front of me, but anywho. All right, I'm not going to give out the caller just yet. So we've got the Boogie Cousins signed basketball plus a pair of tickets to Boogie's third annual Boogie's Comedy Slam. It's taking place April 11th at the Paramount Theater in Oakland, starring Mike Epps, Tony Roberts, Red Grant, and more. Tickets are available at Ticketmaster.com. That's Ticketmaster.com. If you're looking for more details, visit our website and the rules at 957thegame.com. All right, Boogie dropped 27 last night, so caller 27 to the contest line. The contest line, 844-999-4263. 844-999-4263. I see the other phone lines blowing up. You're on the wrong lines, people. You got to go to the contest line, caller 27, because Boogie dropped 27 last night right in Houston's face, 844-999-4263. Caller 27 wins the basketball and the tickets. Nice little giveaway. Shout out Boogie. We really appreciate you hooking us up with that.
Especially when he comes through with such a big game on the day that we've devoted our entire day to being Boogie Day. So if he would have come out and had a double single and maybe fouled out or got teed up, it wouldn't have the same luster as it would today coming off that 27-point, 8-rebound, 7-assist gem that he authored in Houston.
They looked so good last night. We haven't even addressed this yet, but Klay Thompson on Twitter before yesterday's game, quote, I love Dub Nation. We have the greatest fan base in sports. We feed greatly off their energy in Oracle, and I meant no disrespect. Hashtag time to go to work. Hashtag Road Warriors. This is him addressing his own comments that he made after the Phoenix game on Sunday. No need to apologize. No need to apologize or send that tweet whatsoever. Those comments were addressed because you never say things like that. But I don't believe anyone looked at Clay and was like, man, Clay's completely out of line. If he's saying it the way that dude's carried and conducted himself over the last few years, there's something to that. We joke around, we use the word gravitas, but I mean, that right there, no need for an apology there. I think that's a unanimous one here, is it not?
100%.
I think you say it. I think he apologized for a reason. I think people are fickle, Joe. And he said that he apologized because he know the kind of backlash that people will give. Oh, he's a player. You know what? You get paid still to play. All the things that go with it. He didn't mean any disrespect. He's saying, hey, he loves his fans. I get that. But when you do that, when you call people out, people sometimes just they can't handle the truth. And so he make that statement because people, oh, he needs to start making the threes. He's got enough things to worry about. He hears it. He hears it on his DMs. He sees people reaching out to him. So he just wanted to clear there. So should he have done it? I think he's just taking the higher road just to be like, look, if I offended you, you know what? I'm letting it out. That's just who he is.
You know, that's the funny thing, too. There were people who actually said, like, complained about it and everything, which I think was completely out of line. But, you know, everybody's entitled to their own opinion. I don't think he needed to apologize. He was doing what he thought was the right thing. But you had said it earlier that last night in Houston, people were cheering. There were a lot of Dub Nation fans out there, or a lot of people watching the Warriors excited, and they definitely fed off that energy last night.
I think there's a T-shirt to be made out of it, quite frankly, that is something we should be circulating come playoff time. Because I think that in light of all of this, so much focus has been paid to the team and some of these lethargic efforts. And then we spin it into, well, if you don't take the game seriously, how could the fans take it seriously? And Draymond talking about how, you know, it's not just the players that need to be locked in. The coaches need to be locked in. Kind of a shot at Kerr last night, but in good nature, right? All that stuff. We are at a point where we should start to realize we're not going to have this forever. And there's probably going to be a really awful period of Warrior basketball sometime in the future. Maybe not right around the corner, but there will be a period where look at any dynasty, look at any great run. Where have the Bulls been since that dynasty, right? Where have the Lakers been since their run? There's some tough times. The Pistons haven't done a damn thing since they were nasty back with Ben Wallace and Chauncey Billups and Rip Hamilton and all those guys. So maybe, just maybe, we need to realize it's not just about showing up and making some noise in the finals. Maybe this opening round series, we should be bringing the heat a little bit more than we have been. Maybe as radio hosts, as TV people, as fans, there needs to be more of a message about, how about this? How about we take the lead and they follow? And if they don't follow, then we can call them out afterwards. And, you know, we've kind of just given ourselves a blanket statement by showing up and making the place loud.
Yes, I love that from our standpoint. And I think that we've done a good job at the station of being invested in every game, every series, every step of the way. It's tough from a fan base standpoint because so many of the fans now that are at Oracle were not there for the hard times because they didn't live here or they weren't to be bothered to go to games of a team that was going to be 30 and 52. But now it's the big thing. Ticket prices go up. People who weren't there 5 years ago are now going to the building, and so they don't have that same sense of muscle memory about how bad it was in order to appreciate it. But you're right, Joe, to the extent that next year, heck, maybe even this year, if they don't win the NBA championship, next year maybe KD leaves and they become suddenly mediocre, we're all going to be longing for these days, and I would hate to see fans live in regret that, man, I should have been standing up, or I should have been wearing my yellow shirt. Because those were the good days.
Not just that. And this hasn't been addressed by anybody. At least I don't think. These are the final Warrior tailgates. Like these, that's it. That's not to say you can't have a good time before Chase Center, but it's very different. Everything there is going to be very different. Not saying better or worse, just saying different. There aren't massive parking lots down there. Like the first playoff game every year is generally what, like Saturday at noon, right? That's a good environment over there. The A's might have a game going on next door. You got a lot of people very fired up. And I remember going over to some of the games we were covering in the finals last year. You get a little bit of tailgating, but by and large, people are coming in, they're parking a few minutes, and then they make their way into the gym. However you want to do it, fine. I almost feel beholden to a point that we might need to get out there and throw a couple parties, at least in the early rounds, like kind of send the message on behalf of ourselves. If we set the tone, maybe the fans follow the tone.
maybe we get a little liquored up, you know, responsibly. You know, make our way into the building, make it a little more hostile than expected. Kind of, you know, get something going a little bit. Because I'm telling you, if the Kings come, if it's the Kings, that's going to be a series. They're going to need to be up for that game. They're going to need to be up for all those games. If it's the Spurs, you probably boat them. But you know what? Actually, I take that back. They're actually playing quite well right now. So let that marinate. Everyone here and everyone who's listening, Chilton Autobody text line 95795. If we were thinking about throwing some parties out there in the lot, maybe a little informal get-together. We make some noise. We get rowdy for the opening round. Let us know what you think, because I'm pretty sure that if we get something going here and we talk to the Warriors, maybe they hook us up with some tickets to the early rounds. Maybe we can get those tickets out to the people. Maybe we can do a big little thing.
Maybe we can
that
even
doesn't make any sense.
Maybe we can tie it into a watch party that they have, because you know the only problem I see with this, Joe, is that a lot of our listeners, our dear listeners among the billions, they probably don't have access to tickets to go to this game. If it's a watch party situation where many more of the old school fans have an opportunity for $10 a pop to go to the watch party, maybe we end up doing a tailgate for a road game, and then we can, you know, draw more people. I don't know. That's just my the idea is great, and I don't want to throw a wet blanket on it.
I think you just tie them together. I think instead of having one or the other, you have two. You have home game parties at Oracle, whether you go in or not. I mean, how hard is it to set up a TV? We could do something.
Sure.
Road games, we get some establishment that we go into business with, and we start throwing those as well. I wouldn't say limit the good times to just one or the other, Dibs.
You're right.
I think we could add more good times. And speaking of good times, from the 519 on the Chilton Autobody text line, Joe, great idea, but please no soup. Well, I don't know if we can do that. I think we might want to have soup for a basketball tailgate.
Why not?
Also, I have to address this. It looks as if Zion Williamson is going to play tonight. Now, I was not here the day after the Zion injury. I know there were lots of takes flying around, but there are some people on the text line who are very excited. Wow, look at all you guys that want to come out and party. All right. All right, y'all, I mean, woo.
Ain't no party like a playoff party.
We will put something, if you guys are that serious, and 95795, let us hear it. If you're that serious, we'll put something together. We will put something together. We'll all get together out in the lot. But also, it would appear as if some people are calling for a funeral. It has me looking at you, but I was not here, so I don't know the protocol.
I saw it this morning that Zion's going to return.
I can see why you haven't been on the text line today.
Makes sense now.
Interesting.
What happened when I was gone?
Well, I was driving the bus, and it wasn't exactly a seamless trip from point A to point B.
Never is.
But along the way, one of the rest stops, actually the whole show was almost about Zion and him ripping through his shoe, and I said he absolutely should play. March Madness and playing college basketball is one of those unique things you can never, ever do again. And Lowe was saying he's got to shut it down. So those were mainly the two takes.
Well, that was his opinion, but did he say he would shut it down? Because isn't the take has to be definitive, as in he's not going to play and then we funeralize it for being incorrect. If he's just advising, if his opinion is, if I'm in his shoes, I'm not playing, do we funeralize that?
I'll defer to Lowe, but
yeah, I was not here. I'm just looking for clarification. That's what I do.
This one. It's me. I was all in. I said, it's no way he can play it. No way he should play. I said, what does he have to gain? I said, he just made millions of dollars with Nike. We're talking about what shoes he's going to go with. Nike, I said, should use the $6 million music and said, we can build it, could make it bigger, stronger, because he ripped his shoe.
That's right.
I was all over this, that this guy just got Nike to pay him. He's going to be the highest paid guy ever in Nike as a rookie. And I said, no way. Why should you play? If I'm his parents, if I was advising him, I'd say shut it down. So I did.
Do you feel like you should be funeralized? All right, there could be a funeral on the other side. And for those of you on the Chilton Autobody text line, 95795, if you're interested in watch parties for the Warriors playoffs, especially in the early rounds when we can really blow this thing out, whether they be home games in the parking lot or whether they be road games at a venue, let us know. I'm going to take this right to the bosses, and I'm going to tell them, look, billions of people are interested. Now, I don't think the Coliseum grounds can hold billions of people, but I am willing to try. So is Bart. Bart is willing to try to get billions of people there. Boop, boop, boop. I'm sure that'd be relatively seamless.
No doubt. No doubt. Problem. Not a problem. Not a problem.
Bankable. We're back on the other side. 95.7 The Game.
Damon Bruce isn't afraid to be brutally honest about the Niners free agency. You need more talent. You need the kind of talent that should leave you as beggars can't be choosers. You should be spending. You should be spending wildly. And you need to impress us now. You haven't won nothing since Jim Harbaugh was on the sidelines, for goodness sakes. Quit telling me about what you might be someday. What you used to be. You need to be good now.
The Damon Bruce Show. Weekdays from 3 to 7 on 95.7. The Game.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 45%. Up to 45% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.